Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is Thursday, and that means it's Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Every time I spend time with Rick, not only do I enjoy talking with him about a variety of things, but you just sense a couple things, how much he cares, and also how brilliant he can be in managing someone's money. Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at REWfinancial.com. Phone lines at 1-800-795-9565. That's powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them at LenapeSolar.com. It was great visiting with the Lenape Solar people the other day. And Tom and Company at Sunbury Motors. Can't say enough about them. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Anybody claim Beckett off waivers yet? Okay.
No.
Did the redshirt freshman quarterback at Notre Dame get claimed on waivers?
He might be. I'm not sure yet.
Just checking.
There is free agency in the NCAA. We've proven that this season.
Yes, there is. Now bring in the Hall of Famer. From CSN.com, the Eagles insider, Ray Dittinger. Ray, you and I go back, 20, 25 years back in those days that you and I used to cover the Penn State beat together back in the 80s.
That's probably about right, Steve.
That's great to hear from you again. How's everything?
Everything's just fine.
Yeah, good. By the way, very belated, but Ray is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so we'll make sure everybody understands exactly who we're dealing with here. Michael Vick, three plays in, Patriots game. What's the update on Michael Vick?
Andy Reid said that if this were a regular season game, that he would probably be able to play this week. But obviously, preseason being what it is, they're not going to play him tomorrow night against Cleveland, and they're almost certainly not going to play him in the final preseason game next week against the Jets. So they're just going to shut him down and get him ready for Cleveland. But there's no doubt that he'll be ready to play physically against Cleveland. But he'll be coming in without a whole lot of preseason work. I mean, it's not ideal to have your starting quarterback only have 12 snaps under his belt, whether he's a rookie or a veteran or what. That was not the blueprint, but that's what they're stuck with.
What do you like about this club so far when you've seen them either at practice or in a preseason game?
Well, they've got a lot of real good players. I mean, they've got a lot of real explosive speed on offense. I don't know that there's any team in the league that is as fast as they are on offense when you factor in Macklin and LaShawn Jackson and LaShawn McCoy and Vic when Vic is playing. I mean, that's probably more speed than anybody else has on offense, and they can make a lot of big plays, and they do. And defensively, they've got a very, very good deep defensive line that I think is going to be, once again, real good at getting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, last year they tied for the lead in sacks, and I suspect that they'll be right there with the league leaders in sacks again this year. So rushing the quarterback, they'll probably be real good at that again. There are questions. I mean, it is funny. I mean, I talk to a lot of people around the country about this team, and the national feeling about the Eagles, they're more optimistic than I am.
Right.
I mean, I've talked to so many people that have already conceded the NFC East to the Eagles and are talking about the Eagles as a team that they feel is very likely to go to the Super Bowl or challenge for that. And you look at the Las Vegas odds, and they're like one of the top four or five teams in terms of people liking them. And I was up at training camp with them all year. And yes, I see the positives, but I also see the negatives. And I'm not prepared to hand them the NFC East championship the way a lot of other people are. I mean, the last time I looked, the New York Giants were still the defending Super Bowl champions. So until somebody proves that they can knock them off, I'm not so quick to make the Eagles number one.
in a division that has the Redskins, which many people think should be better. They think the Cowboys might be better. And, of course, as you mentioned, the Giants are the defending Super Bowl champions. What are going to be a couple of swing things should the Eagles stay healthy that could swing it? Because they did sweep the Giants last year.
No, they split.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
They split. They lost the game in Philadelphia, and then they beat them up at the Meadowlands with Vince Young. Miracle of miracles. I mean, that was talk about the miracle of the Meadowlands. That was the miracle of the Meadowlands that they won the game up there with Vince Young. What I had said before is that I think that McCoy is a really talented back and who's just really scratching the surface of his ability. I don't know that he's going to score 20 touchdowns again this year like he did last, but I don't think that was an aberration either. I mean, I think he is that good. And if he stays healthy, I think he's going to, once again be one of the top three backs in the league, if not number one. DeSean Jackson is happier this year. He's got the contract situation worked out. I mean, last year he admitted just the other night on Monday Night Football in his interview that he allowed the contract situation last year to distract him. He didn't say that he went through the motions for a while, but he kind of did. And everybody knew it. Reed actually deactivated him for a game because of the way he was playing and the way he was pouting. But he's got that resolved now. He's got his contract, and he seems pretty happy and pretty productive this preseason. And if he carries that into the regular season, he'll certainly give you more big plays and more punch. And I think Macklin's going to be really good. I as good as he's been through 2 years, he can be better. Last year he had a physical condition that nobody knew what it was. There was some tests on his heart that were real scary that he didn't at all practice in the preseason, and some people were thinking that his career was over. So he went into the regular season, got a clean bill of health, and he played, but it was obvious that he wasn't as good as he could be, even though he put up decent numbers. He can be better than that. So, you're looking at a guy who's already been really good who could even be better this year. So those are the offensive weapons, and those are the reasons to be optimistic. The concerns on offense, it's Mike Vick. Can Mike Vick play? Can Mike Vick finish the season? He's only done it once in his whole career. And staying healthy is only part of it. He's got to stay healthy and play well. Everybody just keeps saying, repeating over and over again, if Mike Vick can stay healthy. But, he's also got to play good. He's got to play better than he did last year. Right. He turned the ball over more than any quarterback in the National Football League last year. You can't win that way. So he's stay healthy, and he's got to avoid mistakes. And they have to figure out their left tackle situation. They lost a guy who I thought last year was not just the best left tackle in football, but maybe the best offensive lineman in football, in Jason Peters, and right. He's gone for the year. And they went out and they got Demetrius Bell to fill that spot, and he's not been very good. He's really had trouble adapting to the Howard Mudd school of blocking. So right now they've benched him and they've put King Dunlap back in there. But that isn't really what they wanted to do, but they've kind of been forced to do. So you got some questions at left tackle, which is a scary place to have questions. So those are your issues on offense. And then on defense, as I said, they have really good players on the defensive line, and I think they'll have a good pass rush. But you still have to wonder, where does is Juan Castillo, how much has he learned after 1 year as defensive coordinator, and will he be better this year? And, how good are your linebackers? How good is D'Amico Ryans at this point in his career? And, can Nnamdi Asamoah come back off of what was clearly a down year and be the shutdown corner that he was in Oakland? Last year he certainly didn't show it, but they need him to show it this year.
You mentioned it was the miracle of the Meadowlands that the Eagles won with Vince Young at quarterback, which then brings up, because Michael Vick is a swashbuckling type of quarterback who is vulnerable and leaves himself open to injury because he takes more chances than other people, how is the backup quarterback situation playing out as you see it?
It's changing as we speak, I think. They went to training camp with three other quarterbacks behind Vic. There was Mike Kafka, who they drafted 2 years ago, and were grooming to be number two. And then there was Nick Foles, who they drafted this year in the third round from the University of Arizona, who I think they drafted because they liked his physical ability and they saw him as a developmental kind of guy that they'd work in slowly. And, he might be a quarterback down the road. And then they had Trent Edwards, who had played some in Buffalo before, and he was kind of the veteran guy that was kind of on the – he was kind of there as the parachute in case all else failed. And the way things have shaken out this preseason, Mike Kafka did not have a good camp and did not play well when he got a chance to play against Pittsburgh and then broke his hand. So he hasn't been back on the field since the first preseason game. You know, Trent Edwards really is still on the outside looking in. It's pretty obvious in the terms of the number of snaps he's been getting that he doesn't really fit in here. But the pleasant surprise has been Nick Foles. I mean, he's come along way faster than anybody expected, I think even the coaches. And in the two preseason games that they've played, I mean, he's been really good. I mean, he came in and played really well, drove the team to two touchdowns against Pittsburgh. And then on Monday night, I think most people saw when Mike Vick got knocked out early, I mean, he came in cold off the bench. He wasn't expecting to play till the third quarter. I mean, they threw him in there cold, and he moved the team right away. And once again, you know, took the team up and down the field, 200 yards passing, two more touchdown passes. So right now, even though Andy Reid has not really come right out and said it, it looks like Nick Foles is now your number two. And Kafka won't play this week. He will probably play against the Jets. But it looks right now that it's, if anything happens to Mike Vick once the season starts, it's not going to be a veteran quarterback. It's going to be stepping into play. It's going to be the rookie Nick Foles because he's earned that opportunity.
I know it's only the preseason, but I believe it was, 18 penalties against the Eagles in that game against the Patriots, and the 19th one was refused. How much was that the Eagles as a concern, and how much the inexperience of officiating?
Both. I mean, the officiating has been horrible. I mean, it's been an embarrassment, and not just in the Eagles games, but across the league. I mean, that's something that Roger Goodell cannot allow to go into the regular season. Yeah, I mean, you can't go start the regular season with these guys calling the games. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing, and it's not safe. I mean, they got to get. Yeah, I don't know how the league is going to work it out. I don't know what the demands are or what's on the table here, but they have to get this settled. I mean, the league can't open the season with these guys calling games with any degree of credibility. So it was a sloppily officiated game. And there were some things that were called and some things that were missed that were glaring and would have been different if you had your regular officials working. But having said that, there was a lot of stuff out there that the Eagles did that they deserved the penalties for. I mean, some dumb late hits and things that guys have to know better, just jumping off sides and general sloppiness. I mean, the coaches, you know, when you saw, I think most people saw the eruption on the sideline with Andy Reid and Cullen Jenkins, which very out of character. I mean, we've never really seen Andy Reid do that before. But I kind of understood it because he was unhappy with the penalties in their first preseason game. They got some bad penalties and some bad spots against Pittsburgh, and he had talked about that in the week that they had off, that they wanted to clean that up and play a lot better and play a lot smarter. You know, then they came out in the game against New England and were doing the same thing all over again and worse. And so that's really what set him off. I mean, he was unhappy with the officiating, as everybody has been, but clearly – the Eagles were making a lot of those mistakes and bringing a lot of that on themselves, and that's something that they can't allow to continue. But they have an awful lot of young players here and a lot of guys that are maybe over-trying in their attempts to make the team, so that accounts for some of it. But you have to play with more, whether it's your ones, your twos, or your threes. I mean, they have to play with more discipline than what they've shown so far.
How well has Andy Reid handled everything?
Very well. When you consider what has transpired in his life since the opening of this training camp, remarkably well. The thing with Andy was, for most of his time here, and he's been here now for 13 years, he hasn't shared very much of himself or his inner feelings or his emotions with the public. You just don't see it. I mean, he just doesn't put that part of himself out there, never has. I mean, he's a guy who's sort of lived behind a moat and a wall of his own making now for a very long time. But after the passing of his son, which, I mean, just rocked everybody here and everybody with the Eagles, because the boy was up at training camp with Andy, was in the dorms with Andy when he was found dead. I mean, it was a horrific thing. It would be, I mean, I can't imagine anything worse for a parent than losing a child, and especially with the ongoing struggles that Garrett had throughout his life. And and Andy was stoic, as you would expect him to be, but he was also very open about what it was like and how he felt, and the public really embraced him. I mean, for a guy that was not tremendously popular with a lot of the fans here, and there were a lot of these fans that were calling for him to be fired after last season's 8-8. I mean, the city really, you know, really opened its heart to him, and there was a tremendous outpouring up at the practices with the signs that people brought and the flowers that people brought and the things that were mailed to the offices and just the public displays of people's genuine sympathy and caring really touched him. And he had his first press conference after Garrett's death was revelatory. I mean, he had a press conference up there where he stood at the podium and didn't duck a single question and stood up there and talked for, and it must have been 45 minutes, about the pain and the hurt and, you know, and how he just kind of has to carry on and how he made the decision to come back as quickly as he did. I mean, Garrett, that happened on a Sunday morning, and Andy was back at practice on Wednesday and coached on Thursday night and talking about how the only way that he could, the best way he could think to get his life back in order was to go back to the thing that was the most familiar to him. And that was football, and that was his coaches, and that was his team, and that was his extended family. And he explained he had a conversation with Tony Dungy, how Tony had coped with the same thing. And it was, you know, I mean, you just sat there and you're just amazed that he could be that open and that candid, and contrast that with the guy that didn't share anything with you for the better part of 13 years. It was remarkable.
Just one final question. I want to talk about your job. Years ago, you could go into a locker room, pull a guy aside, talk to them, get some insight, or could be a really nice feature for you. Now, of course, you have to diversify so much, right? Radio, TV. Is the job easier today or more difficult today based on the circumstances and how you have to cover things?
Oh, it's a lot more difficult, I think. I mean, for the younger guys that are doing it now, I don't envy them because I think it's a lot harder now. I really do. I think the 24-hour news cycle has forced everybody to do their jobs differently. And because so many guys are straddling three or four different forms of media, I think guys spread themselves a little too thin. And, you know, you've got people tweeting and blogging, and there's all that stuff that's out there flying around. And, you know, a lot of it unsubstantiated, a lot of it uncorroborated, a lot of it irresponsible. And if you're out there trying to do a true reporting job and trying to get to what's really happening and report it in an honest and fair way, you know, it's just endless. And it's really hard. You know, I mean, you don't have as much access, real good access to the coaches and players as we did back when, you know, in the 70s when I first started covering it. You know, they make coaches and players available to you, but it's in these kinds of podium settings where you really don't get an opportunity to just sort of take a guy aside and have him tell you, hey, listen, off the record here. Well, there kind of is no off the record now, because every time somebody talks, there's 10 people with mini cams and cell phones pointed at them. So it's hard to get that kind of access, and as a result, it's sometimes a little harder to get to the truth. But, you know, we all try, and it's still fun. And I still enjoy it. But in terms of, is it harder than it used to be? Yeah, I think it's a lot harder.
Well, you're still among the best. Ray, thanks so much for the time you gave us today. A lot of insight that I think the fans here really enjoyed.
Well, I certainly enjoyed talking to you. Well, all my best to everybody up at State College.
Ray Denninger with us. We will come back with more in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The car company that helped build America is once again America's number one brand.
Announcing the Labor Day sales event
at Sunbury Motors with great deals for hardworking people like you. From now through September 1st, get a brand new Ford with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months on a Ford Escape, Focus, Fiesta, Edge, Fusion, Flex, or Mustang. And $3,500 on built-tough Ford trucks, F-150 and Super Duty. During this limited time offer, everything is on sale. So get into a brand new Ford now with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $3,500 bonus cash. For complete qualifications and details, call 1-800-358-8090 or go to sunburymotors.com. The Labor Day sales event ends Saturday, September 1st, so hurry into SMC today. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Lenape Solar powers the hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Go to lenapesolar.com. As always, the Sunbury Motors studio fired up today and set to go. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Anybody pick up Beckett yet?
No.
Surprised?
I guess not now. I would have been, you know, a little bit closer watching it about an hour and a half ago. But
what dissuaded you?
You enlightened me.
I see.
I've been enlightened.
I see. Well, it's a shame. Had to come to this.
Although Roger Goodell does think that the fill-in refs would be fine for the regular season. He said they've been
trained. Out of his mind.
They've been working with him, and they'll do a very credible job.
Look, I understand. That's a negotiating ploy. That's all that is.
Sure it is.
I mean, it's a negotiating ploy. But guess what? You're wrong.
It's called marketing. That's what he's doing right now. Positive marketing, or at least trying.
Well, trying to convince the world that the current referees are really good is the same as Baghdad Bob trying to tell everybody who's good in Iraq that day. Au contraire, mon frere.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy-ho.
Heidi-ho?
Well, I got to change the show up somehow. I mean, you started out by getting people excited about Josh Beckett being put on waivers.
Well, CBS seemed pretty excited about it. So did ESPN. But you, on the other hand, were not that excited.
Nope.
But then again, I don't think I've ever seen you excited.
What? I get excited when I call games.
I've heard you excited. I said I've never seen you excited.
I mean, but, you know, we're talking about baseball waivers here. I mean, really. I mean, I'm on the ESPN baseball page now. They don't even mention it. Cologne, 50 game. Pistol to Mitch, next star. Cabrera exits sore ankle. Nationals to replace Strasburg, 2-3 starts. Girardi. Miscue, Mets, Jeter, laughs off Bayless's talk of PED usage. People just like say whatever they want. Red Allen Schilling Company deal focused on jobs, Pujols exit games. They're not even on the story here.
I still don't understand the Strasburg thing.
Nobody does. I don't understand at all. I'll be honest with you. Look, I'm a sportscaster. I understand that. But again, what have I talked about repeatedly in doing this job? One of the things that's important in doing this job repeatedly is listening. You try to privately ask the right questions at the right moments, okay? And because I broadcast baseball, I want to know about such things. So I've asked doctors before about Tommy John surgery, and I said, gee, it really seems like you come back stronger from it once you get your bearings. They said, yep. That's because of how the surgery's done and also all the rehab around the muscles in the body dealing with that rehab. Right. That's why do you see any pitchers having repeat Tommy John surgery?
I can't think of any. I mean, there might have been one or two, but I can't think of any.
No, and I don't know what's going on. And then Scott Boras, look what they're his agent. Oh, you know what? Just cash your checks, keep your mouth shut, you run nothing. Okay? He doesn't. He thinks he runs things. He doesn't run anything. What? The Appel thing with the Pirates? What do you freaking do? They don't need him.
Well, I like what you and Wheels were talking about when Davey Johnson compared it to Jordan Zimmerman.
What? You're in fourth place last year. That's George Zimmerman. It's not Strasburg. You're in first place. Look, when you have what bothers me is this, and I've talked about this many, many times. There are too many people out there, way too many people out there, that think winning is easy. And that includes people in our profession.
Now, I'm in that sometimes, I believe. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Winning is really difficult. If winning were easy, why doesn't Dan Marino have more rings? If winning was easy, why didn't Ernie Banks get a ring? If winning were easy, why would Mario Andretti have one and not four Indianapolis 500s? If winning were easy, why does Peyton Manning have one Super Bowl ring instead of three or four? Because he's been the gold standard among quarterbacks, he and Tom Brady, for years. It's not easy. Very difficult thing to do.
But if they are going to back off on him a little bit, a six-game lead and shutting him down now for two or three starts, which it looks like it's what it's going to be, I think is a lot smarter than hanging out until, you know, mid-September and then shutting him down for the season.
But when they shut him down, Kevin, he's being shut down. He's not pitching in the playoffs.
Well, I thought the latest was that he was going to be a game or two. He's going to miss a couple of starts now.
No. It includes the playoffs.
So they're saying when he misses the final two or three turns in the rotation during the regular season, it'll also include the postseason.
He's an observer.
Yeah, that well, and Wheel said this too. Listen, and he had a great example. He thought there were going to be championship after 1980. He said it took 93 till they got there again. It took another 13 years to get anything going again for the Phillies. So hoping to be able to keep him for a long term is hoping a lot.
But that's my point. Winning is hard. When the opportunity presents itself, you have to go for it. Even if it doesn't work out, you have to go for it. Because you're not going to get many chances. The Phillies going into the playoffs last year were odds-on favorites to win it.
Sure.
Who won it?
The team that beat them in the first.
St. Louis.
That's right.
The Rangers have been back-to-back World Series, but won it. When you get the chance to win it, you have to make moves. Okay, the Angels felt they had a chance to win it. Now, they've fallen back in all of this, but they went out and they got Zach Greinke. Thought they'd have a shot at it. They went for Pujols in the offseason. Giants are in first place. Now they acquired Hunter Pence. Dodgers right now battling it out with St. Louis and Pittsburgh for the wild card. And the Pirates right now on the outside looking in on the wild card.
Yeah, they're half game back?
Half game back. But, again, what did I say on Monday? You beat the Cardinals. That was awesome and incredible. Don't get swept by the Padres.
Yeah.
What happened? Padres swept them.
Yep, lost three in a row.
So, I don't care what sport you're in. If you can make an acquisition in the NHL that can make you a Stanley Cup contender, go for it. If you can make an acquisition in baseball, you know, and sometimes you blow it. One year, I think it was 88, whatever, the Red Sox thought they absolutely had to make a move, get a left-handed reliever in the bullpen. And Larry Anderson had a 1.23 ERA to Houston. They dealt a double-A prospect to Houston. Who was it?
I don't remember that
Jeff Bagwell.
Oh, was it Bags?
Yeah. Okay. Woody Freiman goes in 87 to Detroit, goes 13-1. They make the playoffs. They eventually get knocked out. Who's the player they gave up in that one?
Not
John Smoltz.
No.
So sometimes you make a trade long term. Okay, fine. Yeah, you roll the dice, but at least you're trying to do something to make your club better. Shutting him down doesn't make the club better. Shutting him down does not enhance their chances of winning the World Series because Washington may be in for a big surprise. Okay? Here's the big surprises. Number one, they may not be back in this position the next 5 years. And number two, he might get hurt next year. He could get hurt running the bases.
He could get hurt catching fly balls in the outfield.
Well, he could. He could get hurt swinging a bat, running the bases, fielding his position, shagging balls, whatever. He can get hurt next year. There's no guarantee. That's the part that baffles me. Do you know how many pitches he has thrown past the sixth inning this year?
No, I have no idea.
64. For the whole year. He has thrown 64 pitches after the sixth inning this year.
Is that because they're pulling him early on purpose, or...
He gets into the mid-90s. He gets to the mid-90s on pitch count. They pull him. So he's been babied all year. And if I'm Davey Johnson and they're telling me my limit is this, he's going five innings. I'm not going to pitch him. So why pitch him six or seven? Why?
Because maybe you don't have any long relief.
Yeah, but that's where they're really good.
That would be the only reason you wouldn't, though, is if you don't have long relief.
If you're in the thick of this thing, when you realize that you're in first place, okay, 10 starts, 10 innings, that's two more starts for you. 25 starts of the season. 25 innings, that'd be five more starts for him. That would take him into the postseason. So I don't get what they've done in any part of this. I don't get any of it.
By the way, where's my Mets fan that used to call in? Now that the Mets are actually below the Phillies percentage-wise.
Well,
where's my Mets fan now?
I'm kidding. Right now, he's in the witness protection program. So this is one of the more intriguing things, is the Strasburg situation. It almost falls into the category of, you had to be kidding me.
But do you think, now I'm asking your opinion, do you really think that if they decide to shut him down, say, mid-September, they're not going to bring him back for the playoffs? Do you really think they're going to sit there and go, you know what? We said we're not going to bring him back. Let's not bring him back. I can't imagine that you would take that chance going into the playoffs. Again, you made a perfect example of why you can't afford to take that chance. St. Louis comes in on the last day of the season because Philadelphia actually beat Atlanta in extra innings on the last game of the season. They come in, and they end up winning the series, beating the Phillies, who were the favorites. Do you really want to take a chance on having maybe your best pitcher on the sidelines for the entire playoffs?
Evidently, they do.
They're nuts.
Oh, no, they have the support of his agent.
Well, as long as they have the support of his agent. Does that mean when it's time for contract renegotiation, they're going to get a deal?
No.
No.
Boris is going to max out what he wants.
Right.
Like he always does.
But we have the support of his agent. Well, of course he has the support of his agent. Doesn't matter if he pitches 100 innings or three innings, he still gets paid.
Right. Also, I think you run the risk of, if you hold him out three starts and then voila, he's pitching again. You actually run the risk at that point of actually hurting him.
No, that's a very good point, too.
We're going to have next Wednesday Denny McClain on the show.
Okay.
Who won 31 games in 1968. And he logged a lot of innings in his career. When he pitched between the Tigers, the Senators, so forth. He's back in an era where people threw complete games. They're throwing 300 innings a year. I mean, when Bob Gibson missed part of the 67 season, it's because they took a line drive off his leg and broke a bone. These guys didn't have arm trouble. Who had arm trouble? Sandy Koufax had arthritis. I don't quite get what's... I can see pitch counts in the American League because you're trying to at least get a gauge. You're not going to pinch hit for them. That way you're not overworking, overusing them. But I find this situation to be as bizarre as any I've seen in sports.
What do you think the average lifespan of a pitcher is in the major leagues without, you know, without any major reconstruction of any sort? I think it doesn't seem to be that long.
I really don't know.
Well, the point I'm making is it doesn't really seem to be that long. If you're trying to save him for the future, what if something does happen that he ends up, you know, not being able to pitch? Maybe it's a knee injury this time.
Well, there are a lot of pitchers though that pitch beyond 10 years in the majors.
Well, not without some major type of surgery, I wouldn't think. I mean, every time you turn around, somebody's having a reconstructive something.
No, I mean Sabathia hasn't. I mean, Beckett's had like injuries here and there. Most of his problems have been, for example, blisters.
Attitude.
Well, yeah, he has two rings. His attitude can't be that bad.
Well, but again, it all goes back to taking the chance.
Yeah, but Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Hamels, what have their issues been? But what was
nothing yet.
John Smoltz? They're all veterans. Halladay and Lee are in their 30s.
But what my point is, they're using the rationale that we're trying to save him for the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're okay. Well, that's great, but anything can happen, as you said, with an injury. So the future could be over tomorrow.
Sure, you could be hit by a bus.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I support playing for the now and not playing for tomorrow. Unless, of course,
Have you changed? Have you changed?
You know what? You'd be surprised.
You used to be in the spring.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The future. What's the future get you? Nothing.
You'd be surprised how you could change your mind when you're looking up the National League East instead of down at the National League East. Your position changes quickly. I am not ashamed to admit I flopped on that one.
I mean, unbelievable. Let's see. Denny McClain pitched from 63 to 72.
That's right. It was 131 and 91.
Mm-hmm. Okay, three-time All-Star, 66, 8, 9. World Series champ, 68. MVP, 68. Two-time Cy Young Award winner, 68, 69. Blah, 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 blah. I want to see how many innings he pitched. Because I'll bet him it's a okay, he pitched 1,886 innings in 280 games. That means he averaged 6 innings a start. More than 6 innings a start.
And had a couple of saves.
Well, a bit of a different era.
No, I know.
But, yeah, 10-year major league career. He averaged 13 wins a year. 3.39 ERA. Not bad.
Well, they also ran 4-man rotations at that time, didn't they?
Yep. Yeah, you pitched. I mean, that's the thing. You keep pitching. I mean, that's the part that gets me is that you keep pitching. And I don't understand how these guys back then could get the ball, go out every single day, and get it done. Let's see. Denny McClain. They were using him because he's on the show next week. Okay? Let's see. 220 innings and 65, 264 and 66, 235 and 67, 336 and 68, 325 and 69. Then, of course, he held out. Then 216 with the Washington Senators in 71.
Do you know how old he was when he retired?
How old was he when he retired?
29.
Yeah.
29?
Yeah, he had off-the-field issues, though.
But still, that many, that 131 wins at and 29.
Mm-hmm.
That number impresses me. Then again, I'm easily impressed.
Yes. But he won, I think he was a three-time 20-game winner, wasn't he? I'm trying to think. He was, let me look it up. Three-time 20-game winner. He won 20 and 66, 31 and 68, and 24 and 69. He made 41 starts in 68. 41 starts. I mean, really. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks again to our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. You can call at 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com.
A reminder that All Steve Jones Thursday continues after 6.
Well, yeah, Bill O'Brien, he won't be on live tonight because they're practicing starting in 2 minutes.
Slight conflict.
Well, the issue was as follows. Yesterday was the last 2-day. Today they broke camp, which meant the players this morning were allowed to move into their dorms or apartments. So it's moving in day. So he had no choice but to put practice at 5 to 7. Now he feels bad about it, but bad enough not to cancel camp practice.
I think you should have wired him up and done the show live from there. That would have been entertaining.
I don't think the FCC wants that.
All right, you'll need a delay.
I'll be back in an hour, boys and girls, from Damon's. Kevin's already given me his order.
I'll take the ribs.